Hey, friends, I just wanted to talk to you for a few seconds. We're going to get into the content soon. But if you're new to the show, we just want to invite you to subscribe. We're trying to see 2025 be a year of growth and expansion. We just need people like you to subscribe to our channel and to share about the episodes that you just are totally in love with on social media. And then lastly, if you can leave us a review today, we'd greatly appreciate it. The algorithms will appreciate it. And so thank you so much for joining us on the Marriage After God podcast. And I just pray that you enjoy this content. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. Today's episode, I'm interviewing John Michael Bout. He's the co-founder of the ministry IntoTheLightMinistries.ca. And their ministry is pretty awesome. It produces visual content, so videos, workshops, masterclasses to teach parents how to talk to their children about the dangers of pornography, how to avoid it, how to recognize it, what to do when they come across it. It really equips families to discuss biblical sexuality with their children. And this conversation is wonderful. He's a young man, young married man. He's got a few children. He's got his third child on the way, but he loves helping families through his content, through these videos, through these masterclasses to teach their children about biblical sexuality and protecting themselves. And so in the videos of these masterclasses, they've got people like Albert Mohler, who teaches them, Abby Halberstadt, who teaches them, Andrew Walker. And so, and the greatest thing about this content that they produce is not that it's just high quality, but it's free. They desire this content to be free so that every parent can have the resources they need to help their children grow in wisdom and integrity. And so I just pray that this episode blesses you. Enjoy my conversation with John Michael Bout. Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. I'm here with John Michael. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me, Aaron. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, you guys just reached out to me recently because you guys are trying to spread the word about something you guys are producing right now, and I know we'll get into that in a little bit later, but why don't you just share with our audience who you are, how long you've been married, what's your family status, what's a little bit of your story?
Yeah, totally. So, my name is John Michael Bout. I'm a father of three boys, married to lovely wife, Jess. So I say three. Third is going to be on the way in 6 weeks.
Oh, congrats.
It's going to be a busy house. And I'm also the executive director of a ministry called Into the Light. Basically, we make resources for churches and families on biblical sexuality. Just trying to make, you know, films, episode series, podcasts, resources that help people think well about the dangers of pornography and also the goodness of God's design for family and sexuality.
Awesome. And how long you been doing this ministry?
We've been doing it for almost 4 years now. So it's been awesome.
Amazing. Am I hearing a little bit of Canadian? Are you Canadian?
You picked it up. Yes. I mean, when I say my last name, Bout, it kind of gives it away. But yes, I'm from the Niagara Falls area.
My wife and I spent a little bit of time up over there. And I just actually interviewed another couple that is in the exact same area. Do you know Sathya Sam? Have you heard of him?
Last name? What's her?
Sam.
Okay.
His first name's Sathya. He's got a ministry on helping men find freedom from pornography addiction.
Okay.
And he's right in the same area, Niagara Falls area, great. Canada. He's Canadian too. I just interviewed him yesterday.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm based in Louisville, Kentucky now.
Okay.
So we've been here for the last like 3.5 years because I'm also kind of part-time working on a master's of divinity at Southern Seminary. So doing a couple things at the same time.
Awesome. I love Louisville.
Okay. Yeah. You've been there.
Yeah. Yes, I have. We have family that live in Kentucky and in Ohio. So.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. We like traveling the country, seeing the states. We love having family all over the place. So.
That's awesome.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your story. What got you into, you're a director, so you like making films. I actually went to school for film, video production. I don't do it at all, except for I'm doing podcasts, but I don't do that anymore. But I love what you're doing, and I love that you're creating creative and in-depth resources for Christians and families. But what got you into that? How did you find yourself into this ministry?
Yeah. So there's kind of two parallel stories that have merged. One, kind of doing the film stuff, and two, why I'm topically passionate about this issue. So, I mean, I can tell them in parallel, but
yeah,
I grew up really solid Christian family. Parents love the Lord, explain the gospel to us. And my dad and older brother are kind of both into film stuff. So it's always been in the family a little bit to work with cameras, work with film things, be in the education space. But kind of alongside this, when I was very young, 8 years old, I came across pornography for the first time. So even though I had wonderful parents who loved the Lord, were discipling us in many ways, they just frankly didn't know they needed to talk to me that early. And so kind of from age 8, I started to get hooked and discipled by pornography. Kept that hidden for a really long time, until I was age 18. Kind of inside that space, I was messing around with cameras and film, photography, videography. But when I was 18, the Lord did a big thing in my life. He put some older Christian guys who were kind of a godly example of what it meant to really follow the Lord and love Him and have a passion for Him, not being perfect. You know what I mean? They still clearly struggled with sin, but they were confessing sin. They were bringing that into community, into the light. And I started to spend time with them, and the Lord used that to convict me of the sin that was in my life. So basically, I opened up to them for the first time. They were the first people I ever told after almost a decade of addiction to pornography. And after I kind of first opened up, that was when the Holy Spirit started to work change in me. I started to, you know, want to actually get into the Bible myself. I started to actually hate the sin and not just hate the consequences of the sin.
Yeah.
And from there, after kind of a period of 2 years, the Lord gave me, I started to walk in freedom from pornography and have since. But along the way, I started to help other guys, especially as I walked, continued to walk in freedom. Started to help disciple other guys who were struggling, and you know, giving them good books, good other resources that were out there. But this thing kept happening. I could take, Finally Free by Heath Lambert or one of these other great books. I could drive it to their house.
Yeah.
Say, let's read this together. And they wouldn't read it. And that just happened enough times with really close friends that I was like, you know, maybe there's a place for me and some others to make a film resource, to make documentaries, to make video series for the church on, you know, dealing with pornography proactively and when there's already a problem. So that was when me and a good friend of mine, Jacob Volk, started Into the Light Ministries, basically to do just that, to make kind of accessible resources for churches and families on this topic.
That's amazing. So how long have you been married? I think you said it, but I didn't.
Yeah. Coming up on 4 years.
And how long ago was this experience where these older men came into your life and helped you find freedom and recognize that what was going on?
Yeah, that was like 7 years ago now.
Before you met your wife.
Yeah. That's one thing I'm immensely grateful for is I was able to, of course, I still struggle with sin. I'm not a perfect man, but I was able to put to death the pattern of struggling with pornography and lustful thoughts so I could walk into marriage and just be an open book. Like, hey, I've got a lot of sin in my past, but the Lord has done a great thing. He's redeemed me and, you know, warts and all. But very thankful for that.
Yeah, no, I love that you brought up how you said your parents didn't really know what to say or how to say it, or even that they needed to say something to you about it. Mm. And you mentioned that you were exposed to it. Can you share a little bit of that story of like, how did that happen? Because I think as parents, we can be kind of naive sometimes and not realize how accessible, especially nowadays, how accessible certain things are and where they're going to show up at. And we might think like, oh, we, we protect them really well. We, you know, we monitor what kind of movies they watch. We don't give them free access to certain things. But what was that story for you? Because I know how I was exposed to it, and it's totally different now, but I think it's easier now. The fact that I wasn't even trying, and I stumbled across it and found it and started a lifelong, you know, struggle with pornography. What was that story like for you? How did you get exposed to it so that we can maybe shine some light on the schemes of the enemy?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you're hitting on kind of the key things. My parents actually, when I was, I think it was 13, they actually sat down with me and had a really good intentional conversation about pornography. And little did they know, I had already been struggling for a long time. So I just, you know, played dumb. So this is the first thing I always tell people is like, start younger, because the average age of exposure is age 8. And I am a living statistic in that sense. So for me, the way I got exposed, I love music. I love playing music, love listening to it. And so just surfing through different sites and different music, came across explicit album artwork. And then that, you know, obviously piqued my interest and curiosity, started to pursue that more. And I had pretty limited access at that point. But basically, as the access grew for me, the more I sought deeper and deeper into it. I mean, and that's what pornography does. It's designed, you get hooked not actually on the gratification itself,
it's the pursuit,
but on the
of
surprise,
it.
Actually, of the next thing. And so no one is ever satisfied with the level of depravity they're looking at right then. It actually always feeds you more and more and more. So, I mean, that was exactly, it was slow for me at first until I got a phone, which was a little bit later. But then it really got worse after that.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
24. So you were just saying how you were browsing the internet. And I'm thinking, when I was a kid, there was internet, but it was not like that yet. But it was very similar in the sense of like an innocent thing, and then you get exposed to something, and then you're like, oh, and you weren't prepared emotionally, you weren't prepared mentally, spiritually for it, and then it's secretive and it's private.
Yep.
And what you just said also about how it's not the gratification that you get from the pornography, you know, that end result that you're looking for. Mm. It's that pursuit of it. And I totally agree with that. And I've seen that. It's exactly how God actually designed us, is the hormones that we have in the body. We try and tell our children, like, the things that we feel in our body are good and they're put there by God. It's when they're misplaced, when they are directed in the wrong direction and they're fed with the wrong things, is when they become misused and unhealthy. And that drive to seek more and to go deeper and to experience new, that's supposed to be something that you are doing with your spouse, and which deepens your intimacy, deepens your connection, deepens your oneness, deepens your excitement for each other. But then pornography just draws you that other way. It pulls you away. It dulls all of those senses and requires you to have more and more. And the fact that it's so easy, accessible, it can draw you much faster than intimacy. Does, you know?
And on that, I think one of the challenges of how this topic is sometimes handled is we major on the prohibitions and minor on the invitations of God inviting us into his good and beautiful design of marriage and sexual intimacy inside marriage. And so I think sometimes parents feel kind of weird talking about that with their kids. Like, it's like it is private. But I think God has given us this beautiful design that we work towards. And so when we say, don't look at pornography, it's absolutely true. You know, all these bads and the no's. And yes, we should talk about those. But I think the accent is falling on the wrong side when that's the major thing we talk about. And we don't also invite them to see the good and the beautiful design that God's given us inside of marriage. And I think that's what the devil basically tries to do. Before you're married, say, you know, take before the time. And after you're married, to say what you have, you know, take what you can't have. That's like reaching back. And it's essentially just taking whatever that God has designed best for where you are right now to give you a seed of doubt that that's actually not what's best for you. There's something out there that, that would be more satisfying with, than what God's given you. And it's just a lie.
Well, I would imagine this is probably a part of what you guys are presenting in your resources, that when we just focus on the prohibition, which should be focused on is like, hey, here's the wrong use of this gift. But if we neglect the communication of what it is as a gift, like what it truly is, like what sex mm-hmm. is, what it's meant for, that it's good and that it's powerful mm-hmm. in the right context, does it misses that thing. It turns sex into a sin.
Yeah.
When it's not, as long as it's in the right context, which is another thing that I don't know if you struggled with this when after you got married, but transitioning from sex is a sin to sex is a good thing was very difficult for us. Because you grow up and you're like, no, it's me having an addiction to pornography. Sex has a totally different definition than it should. For my wife, it's got a definition of like, well, that's off limits. And now all of a sudden it's good. And it's always been a bad thing. And now it's a good thing rather than understanding that what it truly is. Is that something that in your resources you guys are helping present to parents?
Yeah, I did a podcast with Jonathan Holmes, who speaks in the series Parenting and Pornography, Roadmaps to Raising Children in Integrity. That's the one that we just released, or one of the ones we just released. But incredible speaker on basically how do we think about sexual intimacy? And that was one of the questions I asked was, you know, how do we think well about moving from one stage into the next? And that was definitely part of my story. Like I remember on our honeymoon, this was a good part of it, just kind of rejoicing in like, wow, this is a good thing. And this is crazy. Like every other sexual experience for me before this afterwards, I'm always left actually in shame and guilt. And like, this is, you know, you're a bad person. Those are the kinds of things in my mind, all the different angles of condemnation. But being able to think, whoa, this is a good thing that I can actually delight in now, was like a very revelatory kind of experience for me. But the flip side of it, it is a hard kind of switch to flip, I think, for a lot of people, especially guys with pornography, but I think girls with pornography sometimes, but also with things like abuse. I was just talking to a sister this morning, actually, about how many girls are first introduced to things of sexuality through either some sort of sexual abuse, seeing pornography, seeing like their dad or brother looking at pornography. You know, they're introduced to it in very gross ways. And so it's not really surprising that when they enter into marriage, their connotations with sex and sexuality are like icky, gross.
Disgust.
Exactly, yeah. So there's often just a lot of baggage to unpack.
No, I bet. And I feel like it's always been an issue, of course. I mean, the Bible talks a lot about sexual sin and how it needs to be viewed and purity in the church. But what are you seeing? I mean, you're 24. You're in that, what generation is that? I don't know if it's Gen Z or Gen X is Gen Y's.
I kind of got lost after.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. But anyways, what are you seeing that's prevalent right now in your generation when it comes to pornography, when it comes to communication and how it's viewed? Because it seems like it's so, from everything I see on social media, it's so regular. It's like normal life now.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's interesting because there's the Christian community and then the secular community. Inside secular spaces, it's viewed as a good thing. It's a normal thing. If you're not looking at pornography, that's actually really weird. It's probably unhealthy. But inside the kind of more conservative evangelical space, still taboo, but also very, there is also an element of expectation. Like, you're not surprised now. Guys my age is like, of course all my friends struggle. I think the angle of women struggling is a growing trend, and there's a ton of shame there. A book I was reading with some studies in it said that women have three times the amount of shame that guys do on average coming, kind of opening up about this topic. And I was just thinking back to the first time telling my story and the amount of like fear and shame that was connected to that, and trying to think of having three times that much fear and shame connected. But that's, I mean, I think that's partly because the way we've talked about it as a church is like every man's problem.
Yeah.
Or this is it. Guys are visual, girls are emotional. And like some of these broad brush strokes can sometimes be helpful, but a lot of the time they are not super helpful. And then we sideline, you know, sisters in Christ and tell them they're struggling with a guy's problem. This is just the problem of sin and the problem of being in a culture where technology is super ubiquitous and there's a porn industry that's actually actively pursuing children. So it's not surprising that we're where we are.
What do you think is driving the increase of women struggling with porn addiction in today's society?
Access is the obvious first one. I can think of many stories of people I know, Christians, that the boyfriend or even the husband becomes a gateway for the wife to start watching, or the girlfriend, like, hey, this is normal, or hey, let's learn from this. And then that begins an addiction on the other side. I also think social media is a huge contributing factor.
The milieu of
What's popular, what gets likes, what people want to see. And so those are the kind of the big factors that I can think of, but I'm sure there's others as well.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Well,
yeah, I am on social media periodically. I'm often on Twitter now because it's safer, I think, than some of the other ones. But I've noticed, I mean, it used to be men were always sexualizing women, like in movies or in music videos or anything like that. But it feels like there's an increase of female influencers, musicians, artists, actresses that are giving a persona of porn star, you know, like highly sexualized. I'm thinking of, what's her name? I don't even know where she's from. I think she's like, was a Disney star, Sabrina Carpenter, I think is her name. And anytime I've ever seen a clip of her, it's like pornography, and I have to like quickly go past it. And she's just a singer. And when I say Jess, but like, she's super famous. And I feel like there's a growing influence of influential women who are, it used to be like just Madonna. Or just like there's like these onesies or one or two, you know, people that were trying to make that name for themselves, make that image. But I feel like it's so much more prevalent nowadays, is the influencers sexualizing themselves and making that like, hey, this is what men want. This is what I want to be for men.
Yeah.
So I've seen that. I don't know if you've experienced a lot of that on your side of things. But and then the other thing I've noticed, I saw a really sad interview of someone at an OnlyFans. I've never been on OnlyFans, but I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And she was saying the reason she started her OnlyFans is because she was tired of, you know, working paycheck to paycheck. And she wanted to do something that would give her the freedom and life that she wanted. And so she became an OnlyFans star, essentially a porn star, because she can make more money. And I thought, I was so sad by that. Thinking like there's been this push to move women from being mothers and wives and having the most amazing role of raising children and doing, keeping a home and like things that are very conservative, very old school, quote unquote, to moving them to the workplace, to moving them to careers and thinking that that's their highest goal in life. And then realizing that it's not fulfilling, realizing that it's not sustaining, realizing that it's difficult and stressful. Like all of us men know this, how hard it is to do that and do that day in and day out to support something, support a family. And then seeing like, oh, there's these girls over here making millions of dollars showing off their bodies. I'm going to do that. I'm like, the devil is so clever to have this progress. So what you guys are doing is what's crazy is I've had several interviews now on this exact topic, and it's not like I'm not looking for it. Just there's so much necessity nowadays, especially in the church, to shine a light on pornography, on sexual addiction, sexual depravity, and how it's just prevailing in the church. And so that's what you guys are focusing on is I mean, I'm sure anyone could watch your stuff, but you guys are focusing on equipping Christians on how to talk about these things. Would you share a little bit about what you guys are doing into the Light Ministries?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, Into the Light, I've already shared a little bit about the ministry broadly, but specifically we just, I don't know when this will come out, but as of the recording, basically a week ago, we dropped two new series. And the first one is called Parenting and Pornography. And so kind of the goal of this series is, you know, as parents, we want to protect our kids. We want to raise them to know and love Jesus. But one of the most challenging areas of their discipleship is going to be sexuality. It's like, whether you like it or not, that's the world we live in. And so I think a lot of parents, like I just was looking at an email earlier today of a woman who watched the series. She said, you know, my plan was basically to follow the put your head in the sand and hope it never comes up approach to this topic. And so basically the goal of the Parenting and Pornography video series is to equip moms and dads to talk to their kids about sexuality and do it in age-appropriate ways so that you don't follow the put your head in the sand and hope it doesn't come up approach as moms and dads. And really it's just kind of equipping you to think through what is God's good design. You know, what is the, if we don't know what we're talking, like what we're going to teach them, we're not going to be able to have a good conversation. What is my responsibility as a parent? How do I think through this and not just parent towards behaviors, but parent towards the heart of our children? Because if we're aiming first and foremost just at behavior modification, like don't look at this, don't do that, then when they leave the house, we've not actually equipped them to be men and women of integrity. Like we want to send children, not children out of our house. We want to send men and women out of our house who are able to get exposed, you know, they're going to come across it, but then to say no or to know what to do, you know, to close the laptop, to run to mom and dad, or to go to an accountability partner, or to even have had the foresight to have some accountability software on their device in the first place. So really it's walking through some of those foundational things and then getting really practical. What could a conversation about the dangers of pornography and the goodness of God's design, what could that look like? You know, here's some ways that you could approach that. All right, now what do you do if you find out they're already struggling? Okay, how do you approach that conversation? What are some scripts to talk about in that way? And then the last kind of two episodes, it's a 9-episode series. The last two episodes walk through, all right, maybe you're having all these conversations, but how do you think through technology? Because this is this is not just a sexuality issue. This is a technology issue.
It's an access issue.
And an access issue, that's right. So how do we think through wisdom principles to put in place into our homes and even wisdom principles to teach to our children about device safety and accountability? So that's kind of a quick overview of that series. But I'm really hopeful that this will equip, you know, moms and dads just to take responsibility that God's given them.
Let me ask you, you mentioned that email from that mother who said she was going to take the head in the sand approach. That's probably most parents. Why should we not take the head in the sand approach?
I mean, your child's, if I was talking to someone directly, I would say, do you love your child? And, you know, I think a majority of parents would say, absolutely,
yes.
I love my child. Then I would say, one of the greatest dangers to their soul and to their life is the dangers of pornography. Just looking statistics alone, but even thinking about how it affects marriages, how it affects spiritual health, all of these things. If this is truly one of the greatest dangers in your child's life, and there's an industry that's actively targeting them, then you cannot just leave this up to someone else. And God is calling you to it. And you've got this. You've got what you need with God's word, Christian community, the church. You truly do have what you need to deal with this issue well. But you have to, it starts by taking responsibility for that and saying, it's not the school, it's not sending them somewhere else, it's not even just putting them in front of a good book and saying, you know, read this and not talking about it again. It's actually repeated conversations, checking in with them, walking alongside them and discipling them. And that can be hard, that is hard, but that's the work of parenting. Parenting's not easy.
What? Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, it's not. Well, it's very difficult.
And the other thing is, if you don't, the world will. Your child will get a sexual discipleship from someone. And so if you're not going to give it to them, then the world will do it for you. And so that's just not an option for a Christian parent to do. But that will be what will happen if you don't take it on yourself.
So it's pretty much guaranteed that no amount of, if I can keep my kids from going to the movies, I can keep, not going to give them a device until a certain age, but you're telling me that no matter what I do, they're going to be exposed. They're going to be, I mean, I'm saying this facetiously because of course they are.
Yes.
Like I was just explaining, like I'm looking at news on Twitter and then something shows up and I have to scroll past it quicker because the social media, that's what they want to present to us.
Well, and even if you were to, you know, box your child up inside your house and no technology and no modern things, the problem is that doesn't last.
Yeah.
You're actually just, you're trying to keep your child a child. You're not training them to be a man and a woman who's useful in God's kingdom, who's ready for marriage. And the series actually kind of starts with basic principles and then works its way up with kind of the final chapter, trying to walk through how do you send your kids out, actually? Because that's really the ultimate goal of parenting in some ways, is to help them know God in his ways and to equip them well to live as an adult. I mean, there's other goals too, but I think those are two of the big ones. And so you just can't make protection your ultimate goal. Protection's a great kind of proximate goal, but if you make that your ultimate goal, you're just playing whack-a-mole and you're going to lose.
No, it sounds like we have a mandate as parents to protect. So we're protecting spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. And we can only protect so much because there's going to be things outside of our control. But to also train up, as the word says, train up a child in the way he should go, that we are making them wise and have integrity and know the truth from the lie. I think of Proverbs, and it, you know, it says, my son, stay away from the, you know, don't go near her home, stay away from the harlot. And there's many Proverbs that are, it's a father speaking to a child, a son, warning him of the dangers, warning him of the pitfall of lust, of sexual sin, and avoiding the whore on the street, not even going down her street, you know, getting near her where she can like call you, hey, come here. And so that's what you're saying is the training is not just to learn how to protect them more, but it's to train them up in the way they should go, give them the tools they need so that when they are not around you, when they're with a friend, when they're, you know, at a party, when they're at school, when they're at wherever, and this is what's crazy is it's so accessible now that it could happen in a second. One thing that we try and teach our kids, and I'm sure you guys probably talk about this in the sections on devices, is to never look over people's shoulders at their device. People are always on their devices. We even tell them with ours, like they'll come over and I don't know what's going to show up on my phone sometimes. And so they come over, I'm like, I put my phone on, I'm like, you're not allowed to look over my shoulder. And you have to ask permission. Can I look at your phone? Can I? And they do that because they could be sitting next to someone on a bus, anywhere in public nowadays, standing next to someone, and then you don't know what they're looking at. And so that's one thing we try and tell our children, and we explain to them, like, they could be looking at something that's not good for you. and you don't know that. Or they could be looking at business stuff that's none of your business. Or they could be looking, you know. And so that's one of the things that we try and teach our kids.
Totally. I mean, that's a good tee off to the other series that we just released as well, which is kind of related to it, but it's called TechSafe. And so
I guess
one of the challenges that I've come across and that I've wanted myself is just, you know, whether you're a struggler with pornography, wanting to protect the devices that you have and you're trying to cut off access, live out Matthew 5, or your parent wanting to proactively protect your family. Both of you have very practical questions of how do I take this iPhone or gaming console or smart TV and make it actually something safe to have in my house. And so basically we made a set of tutorials in this series called TechSafe that walk through, okay, you've got the smart TV, you've got the smart home, you've got computer, tablet, gaming console, all these different devices in your house. Here's how information flows into your home through those. And there's the different danger points, you know, associated with those for pornography or even predators or other dangerous content kind of online. And then we'll give you some tools to filter or to monitor or even block as many of those danger points as possible. So they're very practical, kind of walking through different device types and then making different recommendations and giving you links to, okay, here's how to set parental controls on an iPhone. And we partner with Covenant Eyes on that one to just try to make it really practical and just make a list. I've got these 5 devices. All right, I'm going to watch those 5 videos. I'm going to walk through those steps and try to set them up as safely as possible to go from maybe like a 10% safe, very open to explicit content, to more like an 80 or 90% safe where it's much more restricted and protected.
Yeah, I keep thinking about how you were exposed to it. You were just looking up music because you love music, and there's a album cover that's explicit, which we've all seen them. There's a lot of them, explicit album covers. Yeah. But I was thinking about, so my kids play Switch. We give them a couple hours a week to play the Switch. And I don't like them being connected to the internet because then they get uploads of like news and stuff. And this is how nefarious this stuff is. On Switch, you just click the little store button, and then you can just scroll through all of the games, right? But there's adult games, and they have covers that are not kid-appropriate, and they're just there. And so I'm always like, you can't – when you're playing the device, you can't go to the store. You can't – I tell them things that they can't click on. But it's even worse than that. Like, they just start the device up, and the home screen has, you know – 3 or 4 news items that I can't control what they are. And it's just always amazes me how accessible all this stuff is and how easy it is to just boom, like, oh, what's that? Click. And then like, they're just exploring, you know? And I think about YouTube. We don't ever let them have free access to YouTube because I've heard stories and I've seen it myself. Like an ad comes up that you have no control over, or it promotes another video that you have no control over. And, we always tell the kids too. Good.
And you're more, it sounds like you're way more proactive than most parents I've talked to, because you're actually saying YouTube, that's a dangerous, like you're assessing YouTube has a lot of dangerous content. There's things I can't control. And so I'm not going to let them go on that. This I'm going to be restricted. But even those, like in some ways, basic principles are like just so many Christian parents I know don't think about that.
Yeah, they just freehand the device over and say, okay, and they just assume the kids aren't going to be looking for anything because they might not be.
Yeah.
And it's just going to – but they don't – but it's looking for them, like you said. Can you – I want to dig in. You said that this porn industry is directly pursuing our children. I want you to speak on that a little bit, because I would imagine most of my listeners probably don't realize that. Probably don't think. Maybe they do. Maybe some of them are very savvy and they're like, no, they're coming for my kids. But I would imagine they're like, nope, that's adult content. Only adults are looking for it. And if they get exposed, it's because someone shows them and that it wasn't, you know. But when you say that the porn industry is directly coming for our children, what do you mean by that?
In some ways, it sounds kind of like fear-mongering. They're coming for our children.
Well, they are. And I think we should be afraid. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, totally. But in some ways, I think it's very simple. If you think about it, DeWalt makes power tools.
Yep.
And what do? They often make kids' versions of their power tools that can be sold in Toys R Us. Why do they do that? They do that because if a child gets attachment to a certain brand or thing
early enough,
as they grow up, they're way more likely to go spend money and buy DeWalt tools. It's marketing, essentially, is what it is. It's building your market base and getting people to come back to you and buy your product. It's really the same thing. They're trying to hook children at very young ages because as they grow older, they're going to be more likely to spend money and buy things. It's money driven. And so you can do that through ads. There's even things like, this is not a specific example, but I know that if you can type in things like Elmo, and if you slightly misspell it, it takes you to a porn site.
Oh, man.
And so it's literally just targeting, like, a child who can't quite spell properly will get redirected to this site, and they're way too young to know what to do with it. They've never been talked to it by anyone, mm-hmm. and it's very stimulating, so they get hooked. So that's kind of what I mean by targeting. And of course, it just drives revenue for them.
Yeah. And going back to what I was talking about with modern musicians, certain influencers, that they're much more sexualized at a younger age. Maybe they're not a porn star. Maybe they don't show off their bodies naked. But the way they present themselves online, the way they build their audiences, the way they encourage their followers definitely pushes towards pornography and sexual sin. It's all about lust. It's all about showing off. It's all about these things that, like you said, it's conditioning and it's creating the desire, the craving, and it's pushing them to want to find more. But I just wanted to highlight that because I want parents to realize that this is absolutely, the age of exposure is getting lower and lower. Mm-hmm. And the accessibility is infinitely more accessible today than it ever has been. More versions of it, more variations of it, more types of it. Like I said, just on social media alone, you don't have to be following anyone like that. And you will get shown by the algorithms certain things to see if it's something that you are interested in.
Yeah,
and it'll suck you in, and it's one of my biggest fears, that because my oldest is 12, he's going to be a teenager this year, which I'm terrified about. Wow. But I'm fearful of how do I introduce social media to them at some point? Mm. Do I ever? And because they are going to be introduced to it, maybe some of my kids will be like, nope, I have no interest at all. That might happen, but it's going to be a thing. It's going to be a real thing, and I'm like, how do I? I may not be able to stop them from being on social media, but like you were talking about, the end result is not just protecting them, it's equipping them to know how to know what they're experiencing, know how to battle it, know what's going to be coming, and then what to do when it does. We need to be stepping up in that realm as parents. Go ahead.
And this is where I just commend parents. Get equipped on this. That's why we made the series. There are good books out there, but don't just do this on your own. So think about taking care of your family. But I think this is an area where the church as a whole, we should actually try to have a united front on this. We all agree we want to protect our children. We all agree we want to raise men and women of integrity. So let's do this actually together and open up and talk about it. And that's why we designed this series, Parenting and Pornography, to have a discussion guide with it, basically to try to make it usable in a small group. You could get hey, let's grab three of our couple friends together. We'll watch it, or let's do we'll watch two episodes as a church and then encourage people to go finish them at home. Just trying to make it easy for communities to start talking, not just individual homes to start talking.
Yeah.
So that even if you're sending one of your kids over to another friend's house in the church, I know they've thought through this well. They've watched through that series. They've probably put some safeguards on their devices. That's probably a pretty safe house for me to send my child to. You start to create communities of integrity, not just individual homes. And that's kind of one of our prayers for the series, is that we hope that's how the Lord will use it.
I love that idea, being able to do it in community, so that you know, you're like, well, I know that we're all on the same page. So if something happens, we're going to talk about it and we're all going to be on the same page. So what makes Parenting and Pornography, this series that you guys are coming up with, different from other resources about biblical sexuality and parenting?
That's a great question. I think number one, some series, and I first want to start off by saying, I praise the Lord for whatever resources are out there. And I'm just thankful for that because we need different angles to come from.
Yeah.
But I would say some tend to come more from a statistics and psychology perspective. And I've shared statistics on this podcast and they're super valuable. But like we've been talking about, this is a heart issue primarily. We and our children have sinful hearts that want this. And so we can even be really intentional about this. We can talk about it with our children. But if we're not aiming at their heart, they will find it. They will find a way to go get it. And so I think that is a deep thread throughout the series that is unique from the ones that I've come across, that we need to disciple our children towards their hearts. And kind of a second thread is you do have this. The Lord has equipped you to with all that you need. And you don't need to send them out somewhere else. You and your family inside the church with God's word have what you need to talk about this well with them. I think those are some of the ways. And then I think another way that this resource is unique is we want to make it totally free. And so if people go to our website, intothelightministries.ca, all our resources are totally free. You don't have to pay for it at all, because it's made possible by donors. And that because if pornography is free, and not just free, but targeted to our families, then we should make the help and the, you know, the hope as freely available. And so we're very thankful to be able to do that. But I think that's kind of another angle that makes it a little bit unique to some other resources.
That's awesome. You guys have quite a few contributors on the resource. On the parenting pornography. Albert Mueller is one of the speakers in it, right?
That's right.
I love him. I listen to his podcast often, his daily podcast on news and world events.
Yep. The Briefing.
Yeah, The Briefing. He's awesome. Who else do you have in the series? Who else contributes to it?
Yeah, Abby Halberstadt. She's a mom of 10 kids. She homeschools.
Incredible.
She's amazing. That's amazing. Written a couple of great books. You can check her out on Instagram too at Emma's for Mama. She's incredible. So she kind of opens up the series with Albert Mueller, and then she kind of introduces some of the other episodes. And then after that, it's Jonathan Holmes, who's a fantastic biblical counselor. Then we've got Andrew Walker, who kind of talks more about God's good design. And then we've got Julie Lowe, who's again a biblical counselor, talking about, you know, more the practical conversation. And then Justin Whitmell Early, who's more on, you know, habits of the household and thinking through habits of technology in the household. So yeah, those are the speakers. Super thankful for
that's
all great.
Of that. And it's free.
Yeah, free.
That's incredible.
Of course, so, if people want to support, they can on the website. We're always making more resources, but it is 100% free for people to use.
So where can my listeners find these resources? Because I think all my listeners should go check it out. I'm going to go check it out because I'm at that phase. I need to be talking to my kids, and we have been doing things, but I can always use more resources to help me. So where can we find you at?
Yeah, intothelightministries.ca is our website. The CA there is the Canadian coming out.
Yep.
And yeah, all the resources are free there. Podcasts. We've got a documentary video series and then tutorial series. You can follow us on Instagram and all the socials, Into the Light Ministries, and that should come up. So yeah, it's all accessible for people to use.
Yeah, praise God for what you guys are doing, John, Michael. It's so necessary. And I pray that my listeners, I pray that all of our homes, we would take it seriously. The fact that the enemy wants not just us, because we need to, as men and women, be protecting ourselves and being vigilant and aware in today's world. But we need to be ready and prepared and teaching our children to give them what they need to launch into this world, not just as good people, but strong people who fear the Lord, who love the word of God, who are prepared with wisdom and integrity to know how to fight the schemes of the devil and to resist and to walk uprightly in purity. So thank you for what you guys are doing.
Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to do it.
Yeah, I'll put all the links for these resources in our show notes, and I just pray everyone goes and checks out intothelightministries.ca to get these free resources, Parenting and Pornography Masterclass, to learn how to talk to our children about sexuality and the Bible and what God has for us. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me on.